Good morning. Do take a seat. We're here to worship God and to thank Him for the harvest, to thank Him today for all the good things that He has given to us. We were sharing earlier as we were praying together. Just turn to the person or people you're sitting next to and tell them of all the things that, all the food that you eat and enjoy. What's your favorite? What's your favorite? Great. Let's see what some favorite foods are. I just asked Beth what her favorite food was. She said all food, so there we go. Ice cream. Mussels. Ooh. Salmon. Roast dinner. Fillet steak. You can tell the rich. I have to confess that Aldbrough fish and chips were fairly high on my list. Yeah, some hands up. But we're here to thank God today for the great harvest and all the things that we can enjoy. But before we get into our service fully, I've just got a few notices. And these are not so much about food, but there are still things that we can enjoy. Midway through October, on the 20th, we have the visit of Professor Jeremy Begbie. Now, some of you will have been here before when Jeremy Begbie has come. He is a professor of theology at Duke University, North Carolina, and he is also a professional trained concert pianist, and he teaches theology using a piano. And if you've never heard him, do come along. We've got an evening of concert and conversation where Jeremy will be playing and be talking about his journey of faith. And we'd love you to come and bring friends and to fill this place. Jeremy is probably the most engaging lecturer I have ever heard. But he has the ability to bring really complex theological ideas and make them very simple and understandable through music and arts. So do put that date in your diary. And then he's with us on the Sunday as well. Our gift day is fast approaching. Our gift day is on the 14th of October. And church members, I hope you've picked one of these one up on your way in. Be good if you could pray about what you should give. And if you want to know something of the state of our finances in church, I suggest you speak to Nigel, to Donna, to Gail, or myself. Donna, would you just stand up and give a wave? I hope you received a prayer card when you came in this morning, the things that we are encouraging you to pray about during October. And there's also an Enable course, which is helping us to share our faith. And in some ways, what we'll talk about today is how we can more easily have the confidence to share our faith. It starts this Thursday at St. John's Church on Caldwell Hall Road. There's leaflets there. I know that one person is going, and they would love company. So do speak to me afterwards if you would like to go to that. Lastly, can I just say a huge thank you to all those who spent much of yesterday decorating our church with beautiful flowers. And we just want to appreciate God's goodness, not only in the flowers, but also for those people who spent so much time making beautiful arrangements. Why don't we just give them a round of applause and thanks. So may we pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you are the Lord of all kinds of colours of harvest. We thank you for giving to us all the food and flavours we enjoy, for juicy fruits, for crunchy cereals, and nourishing vegetables. Thank you for money gathered up into our bank accounts to fill our shops, cupboards, and fridges with jars, packets, and tins. Lord of all kinds and colours of harvest, we thank you for giving us the chance to join in with giving food, flavour, and enjoyment to other people too. For collections for our communities, homeless, hungry and vulnerable, and those working around the world bringing hope to those who have no food to eat. And on this day, we particularly pray for those affected by recent natural disasters, including the tsunami. And we pray for provision for them, for water, for food, for medical aid. As we thank you for the abundance of the harvest you have given us. So would you bless us as we share together today and thank you for your blessings on us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're able, would you stand as we worship together and sing, How Great Thou Art. And during this hymn, our harvest gifts will be brought forward. Father, we thank you that you are an amazing God and give so much to us abundantly, but thank you too that your promises are yes and amen in Jesus, that we can trust you. And Lord, we come before you this morning just to bless you for the harvest. And we pray right at the start that you would send your Spirit upon us, that we might know your presence, that we might know today a fresh blessing from you. But then, Lord, you would help us to bless others in and through the power of Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
So we've already thought this morning that harvest is about coming together and thanking God for everything we've got. But does anybody know what the word harvest means? English lesson, first thing on a Sunday morning, just what you needed. Does anybody know what the word harvest means if you look it up in a dictionary? Does anybody know? Harvest, if you look it up in the dictionary, actually means the process or period of gathering in crops. So, to start with this morning, we're going to do a little bit of gathering. So, around the church, there are five baskets with food in. So, if anybody under the age of 100 would like to go and have a look and see if you can find one of our five baskets. Now, I don't know where they are because Margaret hid them, so they could be anywhere. There's five of them. Has anybody found one? She's hid them well. Oh, no, look here, we're looking good. Looking good. If you want to bring them up. We've got one, two, three, four. Come on then, Margaret, where did you hide the fifth one? There's another one. So, is it come? Ah, here we go, we found it. So our harvest doesn't just come from where we are. It comes from all around the world. So what have we got? What have you found, Caitlin? Bananas. Caitlin's found some bananas. Now, I wonder if anybody's got any idea where our bananas are from. Anybody know where bananas come from? From Felixstowe. From Sainsbury's, yeah.
Banana Republic.
From the banana tree. Now, these bananas are from Costa Rica. Well, what have you got?
Raisins.
You got some raisins. Do you know what? They're not quite raisins. They're actually sultanas. Do you know where our sultanas are from? Do you know where sultanas come from? Sainsbury's. Everything comes from Sainsbury's. They're from Turkey. Well, what have you got?
Olives.
You've got some olives. Do you like olives? No. Do you know where the olives are from? No, they're not from, well, they could be. They're from somewhere in the Mediterranean, so they could be Greek olives. What have you got?
Grapes.
Got some grapes now. Does anybody know where the grapes come from? What do you think? From South Africa. No, these grapes are actually from Greece. And the last one we've got, what have you got, Emily? Emily's got some apples. Do you know where apples come from?
England.
From apple trees. Where do you think, Petra? From where? She thinks they're from Suffolk. You know what? You're right. They're from my garden. I picked them this morning. So the apples have the least air miles. In fact, they have no air miles. So we've thought about harvest being about gathering, but is it good enough just to do the gathering? So you've gathered that all for me so I can take it home and eat it. Is that right? No? Is that fair? If I take all that food off you and I go away and eat it? No. So what do we need to do with our harvest? You see, they're good. We need to share it, don't we? We need to gather it in, and then we need to share it out. So, if you've got something that's shareable, would you like to go and share your harvest with everybody? Should we take your cling film off? And you can go and share them. There you go, you're going to go and share them. Oh, I dropped one on the floor. Never mind. So, our harvest is about gathering everything in, but the most important message of harvest is about sharing what we've got. So, enjoy the harvest. I think Jackie's going to come and give us our Bible reading now.
The Bible reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. You can find this on page 123 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. Jesus feeds the 5,000 men. After this, Jesus went across Lake Galilee, or Lake Tiberias, as it is also called. A large crowd followed him because they had seen his miracles of healing those who were ill. Jesus went up a hill and sat down with his disciples. The time for the Passover festival was near. Jesus looked round and saw that a large crowd was coming to him. So he asked Philip, "Where can we buy enough food to feed all these people?" He said this to test Philip. Actually, he already knew what he would do. Philip answered, "For everyone to have even a little, it would take more than 200 silver coins to buy enough bread." Another of his disciples, Andrew, who was Simon Peter's brother, said, "There is a boy here who has 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 fish, but they will certainly not be enough for all these people." "Make the people sit down," Jesus told them. There was a lot of grass there. So all the people sat down. There were about 5,000 men. Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to God, and distributed it to the people who were sitting there. He did the same with the fish, and they all had as much as they wanted. When they were all full, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces left over. Let us not waste any." So they gathered them all up and filled 12 baskets with the pieces left over from the 5 barley loaves which the people had eaten. Seeing this miracle that Jesus had performed, the people there said, "Surely this is the prophet who was to come into the world." Jesus knew that they were about to come and seize him in order to make him king by force. So he went off again to the hills by himself. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Do take a seat. As I was thinking about this passage of scripture and this account of Jesus feeding the 5,000, I was thinking that this is probably one of the best known miracles in the Bible. Actually, it's the only miracle, I think, that's in all 4 Gospels. So it must be important. And I wonder what it is that we can learn from this miracle today. I think one of the problems with this is sometimes we have our heads, problems in our heads getting around what this actually was and how it happened. Because, you know, picturing 5,000 people, men, plus women and children, I sort of think you lose a little bit of just how amazing this miracle was. So I thought what we could do, who's good at counting? Nigel, you are, because you're a church warden. So I need you very quickly to count how many men there are in the congregation today.
53, what is on it?
53 men?
No, there's not. It's about 30.
About 30 men, about?
Yeah.
Is that good enough? No, so do a quick count. And now, who's good at maths while he's counting? Who's good at maths? Unfair, Donna's treasurer, we need somebody else. Who's good at maths? Come on, own up. Otherwise, I'll pick somebody. We must have a mathematician among us. No?
31
men. Okay, 31 men. Right, so we'll have to do this together then. Stay where you are, Nigel. 31 men. So what's the proportion if we think of 5,000 men and we've only got 31 men? What's the mathematical proportion? What's the percentage? What's the... how do you do it? 31 divided by 5,000. Yes, Mike? 0.062. Say again. 0.62. Okay, so Graham's on the ball, so we'll ask. Okay, so if we have five loaves, okay, what proportion of loaves are we left with if we proportion it by the same amount? So for 5,000, it was five loaves. For 31, how many loaves will it be? Any answers? 3%. I reckon it's less than that. 0.3% of a loaf.
0.03%
of a loaf.
Yeah.
Okay. Graham, can you come here, Mo? Five loaves and some small fish. Okay, so we don't need those then, do we?
Nope.
So I need 0.3 of a loaf there. So work it out. How much is that? 0.03%. Well, if you cut it in half, it's 50%, isn't it? Yeah. While you're doing that, I'll open the fish, shall I? Yeah. Okay. Can somebody work out what the percentage is for fish then? If it was...
That's a 24th.
Oh.
3/10.
No fish. Okay, so hang on. Graham's just picked up the piece of bread that he reckons that it's... Was that the bit?
Well, that's a... 24th of a loaf.
That's a
24th. That's a half. That's a quarter. That's half a quarter.
Okay. Okay. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going.
That's half of half a quarter.
That's half of half a quarter. Keep going.
I haven't got any teachers here
today. And again. Great. So let's say it's about that much. Can you see that? Okay, what I want you to do now is cut that up and share it with every single person here. I'll give you a plate. Okay, so every person needs to have a bite. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Great. I'll leave you to that because I'm at the front. I'm sorry there's no fish, but there was a ring failure. Great chefing knife skills here at the front. See, when you begin to see there's just this little crumb of bread that would be shared amongst us, what's the point of bringing five small loaves and two fish that would be enough to feed 5,000 men plus women and children? It's pointless. And one of the things that I think that this story tells us is that You know, so often when we look out at the world and you think about what's just happened recently with this tsunami and the devastation it's caused, or you think about what's happened in Yemen and the children there that are starving. I was going to put some images up on the screen of children in Yemen, but actually I thought they were too horrific. And when we look at the world and when we think about what can I do? What can I do sitting here in the UK to help those people? And so often we look at those situations and we do nothing because we think that we can't do anything. But what you see here is that Jesus asks a question and he says to Philip, he says, where can we buy enough bread to feed these people? I love that Jesus already knew what he was going to do, but he asked a question. And why does he ask the question? Why does he ask a question that he knows is actually impossible? I guess if there were 5,000 men in this church, beer squash, plus women and children, and we went down to Sainsbury's, that we'd be hard pushed to find enough food to feed 5,000 men plus women and children. Other supermarkets are available. And Philip says, well, hang on a minute, even if there was somewhere to buy this stuff, we'd need half a year's wages. And before them is this impossible task. Yet Andrew goes and he meets this little boy and he brings this boy to Jesus. And I think Andrew has a whisper of faith. Just a whisper. Because he brings the boy to Jesus and he says, here's a lad with 5 loaves, 2 fishes. But what is this among so many? I think there's a whisper of faith because I believe that in Andrew, Andrew's probably already witnessed water into amazing wine. He's witnessed an abundant provision of glorious wine. And I wonder if the back of Andrew's mind is something that, hey, this man, Jesus, can do amazing things. Tim was showing me a post from the all-knowing Alexa this morning. And it was about people who believe in miracles. And what was the figure, Tim? Adults in the UK. You've just got to ask Alexa again. BBC News. 3 in 5 British adults think that miracles are possible. Is that us? Is that us? Because Andrew brings this little lad with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And then what do you see happens? I said earlier that this is the only miracle I think that's recorded in all Gospels. And in the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it says that Jesus took the bread and looking up to heaven. See, I think the disciples were focused on the 5,000 men plus women and children. And they were looking at the impossibility of the task. But Jesus looks to the Father. Because he knows that with the power that the Father gives him through the Spirit, he can do the impossible. And the small, insignificant resource of that boy is transformed into food for everyone. And again, I think the other interesting point is that Jesus breaks the bread and it says he hands it to his disciples and says, distribute it among the people. Well, if there are 12 disciples and let's say there are 12,000 people, you have now got to give bread that Jesus has broken, 12,000 meals worth, That's 1,000 per disciple. So as I look at that story, I think, well, hang on, how did this work? See, in my mind, I think Jesus takes the bread, one of the loaves, and he breaks it. And he says, Graham, distribute that amongst the people. And he'll say to Matt, Matthew, distribute that among the people. And then he'd go back for another one, and he'd break the next one. And as the disciples take the bread and begin to break it and share it, they give it to others who then distribute it. And in the process of acting in faith, everybody is fed. Because God loves to involve us in the ministry of sharing. It's why he blesses us. Actually, the whole message of the Bible is about being blessed in order to be a blessing. So Jesus takes the bread and breaks it and gives it to the disciples and says, share it out. And what happens? The however many there were, let's say 12,000, the resources of this small boy become the feast for every person. So much so that at the end of it, they collect 12 basketfuls of leftovers from 5 small loaves and 2 small fish. 12,000 people-ish get fed. And there are 12, the baskets were probably huge baskets, get left over of food that's still available for people to eat. See, when we hold stuff to ourselves, if that little boy had kept the food to himself, how many would have fed? One person. And how many leftovers would there be? None. If he's anything like my boy, when you give him food to eat, there's nothing left. But giving the meager amount we have into God's hands, allowing him to take it and use it and break it as we're prepared to share, God blesses it and not only feeds those present, but there are 12 baskets left over. The symbolism there is that here are 12 baskets that will feed the 12 tribes of Israel. And you see, Jesus goes on. Further on in that chapter, what you see is that they come back to Jesus. These people who have been fed, they come back to him. And Jesus says to them, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. And then he says to them, don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. And so they come back to him and they say, so Jesus, give us this food. And what does Jesus say in reply? What does Jesus say in reply? What does Jesus say in reply? He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who drinks from me will never thirst. We've already seen back at the woman in the well, haven't we, that Jesus says, I am the water of life. And now he's saying, I am the bread of life. See, I believe every one of us has a God-shaped hunger hole in our lives. I was thinking about what Robbie Williams was singing a while back in his song, Feel. And he says that he wants to feel real love. But he goes on to say, there's a hole in my soul. You can see it in my face. It's a real big place. Because each one of us, whether we know it or not, have a hunger for the reality who is God. And we try and fill it with all sorts of stuff. but it never really satisfies our hunger. But God is the one who, when we recognize that he is the bread of life and we eat of him, who fills and satisfies that God-shaped hole in our lives. I wonder today if you know the blessing of receiving Jesus, the bread of life. Whether or not you've ever, as it were, eaten of Jesus, fed on him, received from him, and been satisfied in your soul as God comes and lives in you and makes his presence real in you. Because that's what he longs to do for you today. He longs for you to know that security. He longs for you to feed on him and to drink of him, to have that close relationship with him that satisfies. But he also longs for you not only then to be satisfied, but to share that blessing and to share the blessing he has blessed you with. See, again, the principle of the Bible is that when we give, we receive back more than we've given. Do you want to receive a blessing today? Well, the first thing is, if you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life, to ask him to come in your life and be the bread of life for you. And then just think about what you think might be small. Just 5 loaves and 2 fish. What is your 5 loaves? What is your fish that you think, looking at the problems of the world, looking at the problems of Ipswich, looking at the problems maybe of just your family, but what are the 5 small loaves and 2 fish that Jesus has already given you that when placed in his hands can be broken, can be a blessing, and there can be ample left over for what you've given to receive back? 12 baskets full. My prayer today is we celebrate this harvest. As we celebrate the abundance of God's goodness, that we won't be hoarders, but we'll be those who give it away, who taste and see that the bread of life is good. Because Jesus Christ is the one we can trust completely and utterly. He is faithful. We've sung about, great is his faithfulness. You never change. And we can trust every word that Jesus says, because in God, all his promises are yes and amen. So I want to invite you, just as the group begins to play, just to take a moment of quiet and ask God, what have you given me that I think is insignificant, that I can do nothing with, yet in your hands can change the world? And then offer that to God and say, take it and use it, bless it, break it, so that your people, so that this city, this town, so that our country, so that your world might be blessed as we share. Or if you've never tasted who Jesus is, how about thinking today about giving your life to him and saying, Jesus, I want to taste of you, the living bread. Let's pray. Shall we stand? Jesus, we thank you that you are the living bread who gave your life for us. We thank you, Lord, that you long to bless us and fill us with your spirit and empower us to live for you. Help us to give ourselves fully to you today and to receive all that you have for us, that we might be a blessing to others. Because we know all your promises are true. And yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father.
Hello. as we move into our prayer time, we're going to use some of the gifts that people have so kindly donated to us this morning. There will be a response to our prayers, and it should be on the screen. The response at each prayer will be, "Generous God, as we have received, help us to give." So I have here a full basket of items. So we pray. Generous God, thank you for blessing us this harvest and throughout the year. But Lord, we would ask you to give us one more thing, something we don't always have. And that's, we would ask you please to give us grateful hearts. Hearts which count our blessings. Hearts which recognize every good gift comes from you. Hearts which want to share. We have this need that we need to give to those who have less than ourselves. Here, close at home, or those in the poorest countries across the world. So we say together, generous God, as we have received, help us to give.
And I have a can of soup. Generous God, we pray for the people in our community and across the UK who are hungry today. Bless and give every individual and organisation seeking to help them everything they need to keep doing so. Especially we pray for Find and the Ipswich Winter Night Shelter. We all say together, generous God, as we have received, help us to give.
Right, there's several other items in here. We've got sultanas, we have olives, we have rice. That all comes from various different parts of the world. So we pray for and say, generous God, we pray for refugees seeking shelter and food across the world. Whether they're from Syria, Palestine, Iraq, South Sudan, or any of the other war-torn areas of our world. We especially pray today for those who have been affected by the tsunami, the terrible flooding of people that have lost not only their homes, but people that had lost their lives. Please gather up the refugee families into their host communities, the countries in this world that are gathering these people together, especially in Greece and other areas. Help them, Lord, to give them the bare necessities that they need, and then for then going on from there, please bless and encourage all the organisations around the world seeking to help them. We pray that they will be resettled into new homes, and once they have new homes, into new lives. So we say together, generous God, as we have received, help us to give.
I have some money and a clock. Generous God, we ask that you would take the grateful hearts you've given us and the prayers we've given you and transform them all into an abundant harvest of generous help for those in need. Answer our prayers and make us part of the answer too, as we give our time, talents, and money to bless and gather others in too, here at home and across the world. Generous God, as we have received, help us to give.
And now we all join in together in saying the prayer our Saviour taught us, the Lord's Prayer. It should be on the screen. Our Father in heaven, Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
As we draw towards the close of our service, first of all, to say that as the service ends today, we're having a fellowship lunch. And it's a bring and share lunch. So the idea is that what God has blessed us with, hopefully some of us have bought some food. But if you haven't, there is food to share. And we'd love you to stay and join us as we share together, eating together and sharing with one another. In a few moments, we're just going to sing our offertory hymn, which again speaks about the faithfulness of God. Great is your faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee, and how he provides for us every day. But again, as we sing that, it's the opportunity for us to share back with others what God has given to us as we give of the money that we have been able to earn through our time, our talents, and all those sorts of things. But also to say it's an opportunity. If you sense that God has spoken to you this morning, that he's laid on your heart something about the five loaves and fishes, whatever that might be for you, that you want to give to God, then I'm going to encourage you to come forward. The prayer ministry team will come out now as well and be ready to pray with you. As we sing that song. Or if you've never received Jesus and tasted of the living bread, again, we would love to pray with you and for you, that you might know who Jesus is and that hunger section of your life might be filled with Jesus, who comes to give you abundant and generous blessings and life. So as we close with a blessing, again, just to encourage you, God has spoken to you, or if you need healing, prayer, or prayer for anything else, then do just make your way forward at some time after the service, and the prayer ministry team will be here to pray with you and for you. Father, creator and sustainer of all, we ask for your blessing today on all these gifts that we have given for your service, and all we still have, which we could give beyond today. Bless everyone in need in our community and across the world. Bless us, your people, and fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon you, remain with you this day and always. Amen. So let's bless the Lord.